It's on, it's on.
There's no sound. Play with the rabbit ears.
It reports incredible as they seem are not the results of mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. Now they think we're imagining all this.
Destructo Mundo.
Hi, this is James, and you're here for the introductory show of Destructo Mundo, and we're in the middle of a conversation, and I'm here with Derek and Ted, and say hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Derek was talking about the mail call where they went to the Pentagon, and go ahead, man, tell me what this is.
So they're on the tour, Arleigh Army. The gunny's on the tour of the Pentagon, and he's at it's like Operations Center. It's the Army. I know it was an Army facility. It's the Army something Operations Center, and it's like anything.
Did you just cut out?
Yes.
Yeah, I cut out for a second okay. Too.
That was me.
I'm sorry.
And so they're in the Army operation. It's some sort of a intelligence gathering, coordination, tactical operations center. And it looks like anything. There, you know, there's just lots of people sitting in front of computers, basically. But all of the desktops are normally they're green, right? Because everyone in there is secure. Right?
They're red, I thought. And they flipped them to green.
Yeah, they're red.
That meant it was
so
safe.
The but lettering is in red.
No,
just like the background, the desktop on the.
I was imagining like an old IBM 386, and you got like the green
it's bright,
screen.
It's bright red, and there's icons on there for whatever stuff they're running. But in big letters across the desktop, it says "Think OPSEC," like that on there, and they're all red, which means you know, yeah, they were red. That's right, because the desktop icons are all like the classified stuff that they're doing and using. So when there's a camera crew comes in, you know, with Arleigh Army and the unsecured people, there's like a big switch they flip, and they all automatically flip to green. And it still says Think OPSEC, but like all the icons are concealed. And I guess you can, there's probably like one for Outlook or something on there. You know, like there's
yeah,
just here, one or two at the bottom.
Program, but no longer.
Yeah, but it was really cool because it said Think OPSEC in big block letters. Like, so you could, you know, you could never.
Now, what exactly is OPSEC?
Operational security.
Oh, okay. All right. So they want you to be aware of that in your mind at all times.
But they flipped the switch, and it was really cool because every monitor, every computer in the room is sort of controlled by the master switch. They just flipped the switch, and they all instantly went green.
Sure.
And like you couldn't see what they were doing. Everybody just kind of sat there like they couldn't do any work while the camera.
Yeah, I was working.
You know, I was.
If you got time to lean, you got time to clean. If you got time to lean, you got to think OPSEC.
But it was. I've been trying to find a way. I really want that on my computer at work. Actually, I want it solid red and it says.
Well, you need to get the big switch.
Yeah. Well, I don't necessarily need that, but I do want the bright red background with Think OPSEC and in block letters.
So do you want to turn your entire monitor red?
Just make a desktop background.
Yeah.
You know, make a red one.
Yeah. I just haven't had time to do it yet, but that's another project on the list. I just thought it was really cool because then everyone will walk into my office and go, "What is that?" Which they already do anyway.
You gotta tell them I'm thinking operational security.
I can go OPSEC. My concern about OPSEC prevents me from telling you what it is.
Yeah,
but get out of my office now.
That's why you should put a big black bar over your eyes in every photograph.
You should just get a pair of sunglasses.
Think PERSEC on that one.
I'm gonna start doing that out from now on. Every one of my photos will have them.
Well, you need to have like the pair of fatigues on with the suit top, you know. That's
Dan and I took some action photos today at the range, and if I do post them anywhere, I'm doing that.
So let's hear
I'm going to quote. I'm going to quote both OPSEC and PERSEC on that.
Let's hear the story of the range today. Now I hear all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Well,
new toys.
New toys. It was actually one of those rare occasions. I had not one, but two brand new unfired weapons to deflower. And Dan had one as well. He had a brand new AR to break in. And both of us have been stockpiling ammo over the last 3 weeks. Lots of great deals on ammunition.
It must have been, for the number I heard was quite high.
So we each had... Well, I had close to 600 rounds of .223.
Wow.
Some civilian and some military stuff. And then I actually took with me something in the neighborhood of about 700 rounds of .45, I think. I didn't shoot. Didn't shoot at all, but you never know. If you got it, take it. But
I heard 500.
I did the math when I got home. I put slightly more, something in 470-something rounds through it today. I did the math.
So did you just count magazine loadings and stuff?
Well,
like
I had boxes of 50.
How's your thumb feel
my
there?
The tip of my right thumb is numb. There's like permanent nerve damage from shucking mags. Because I only have the two factory 8-rounders. So if you figure 470-something rounds through two 8-round magazines.
How stiff were the spring on those? Those are new magazines, right?
Yes. They were really, really stiff at first. They loosened up. They were like, especially, like, you get about 5 rounds in it easy.
You got tennis thumb now, man.
And the last 3 rounds in it when it was fresh was
right
the bitch. And I field stripped it this morning and to check it out before I went shooting. I just, you know, field stripped it and put a little extra oil in there to help it break in. And the thing's got a monster recoil spring in it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. I mean, it's like, most of them are just like a coil spring.
Yeah.
But the actual spring, it's like one piece of wire coiled in a coil spring. That's what most of them are. Well, the actual spring is braided, like wound braided wires, to make one sort of giant wire, and then that's coiled.
Okay.
So it's a huge monster spring. But 470 something rounds, flawless.
Not one jam out of the whole
Nothing.
Business.
Didn't take anything to sort of warm up, break it in.
So what was your target accuracy there? You know?
It's a SIG. Yeah, you're like, and I've been on the SIG forum the past couple of weeks, kind of, you know, reading stuff, and you know, even though you expect it to be perfect, there are guys who are, you know, on there with the stories of, I'm so disappointed, I paid all this money, and they got the one that, you know, is all screwed up and it jamming, and you know, there's anything you're going to get limited. This thing is just, it's a freaking dream. It was like, it's incredible. I started out with some, like, the Remington generic stuff, you know, just the ball, which Dix had on sale. You got like a 500 round case for about $95.
God damn.
Which is great.
Sure.
And that's just good blasting ammo, but it was unbelievably shitty accuracy.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff was, and it was kind of dirty. There was a lot of unburned powder sparks. But okay, just to break it in. But I let off a couple of mags, and I'm like, man, I suck. Like, I couldn't hit shit with it. And then I ordered online something that's almost impossible to find. They had, it was at ammoman.com, which is a great place to get ammunition online. Good prices, free shipping.
So, folks, for whoever's listening out
there,
we'll put this in the show notes. And
there's a plug. Great. www.ammoman.com. And they've got really good stuff, great prices, free shipping, and you can generally get it.
Free shipping?
Free shipping.
It sounds like we're doing an ad for these. We're not getting anything out of this, but if anything from anybody from ammoman.com is, feel free to send us, you know, whatever
and
you like.
I got five.
Or Goose Island. In Chicago.
Yeah, so this show is sponsored by Goose Island.
I got 500 rounds in, I think, 4 days. So, I mean, it's quick shipping, too, for free.
Where are they out of?
Ordnance through the mail.
Yes. I'm not sure.
But they're pretty close. Well, we live in a UPS hub city, folks, so we got a great in line.
What I ordered was they had something that's really hard to find, actually. It's Federal... the company, Federal. It's XM 1911, which is military contract overrun. It's actually current production military 45 ball, which is really hard to find, because if you ever find 45 military 45 ACP ball, you know, it's old stuff. You can still find boxes of World War II stuff floating around, you know, in Korea era stuff, but this is like brand new. It's in match grade brass. It's actually loaded match grade. It's cantilevered cases, lacquered and sealed. It is the shit. And I got 500 rounds of that, and it comes in the cool, totally generic white box. It says 45 ACP, you know, because it's military stuff. They don't need the fancy packaging.
Yeah, yeah.
500 rounds of that for like, I think it was $129.
Wow.
Which is a great deal.
Yeah, that is.
And then, so it was sucking with the Remington crap.
Yeah.
And I loaded up two mags of that stuff, and it was dead fucking on. I'm like, see, this is a quality weapon.
Mil-spec.
It needs the good shit, right?
You know stuff's great when it says mil-spec. You know, it doesn't even have to say anything.
Not the food.
No, no, not the food.
It's one of those things that's like, you know, if you had a Ferrari, you'd put good gas in it,
yeah.
Right? I'm like, this is a quality weapon. It'll eat anything, you know. Anything you put in it, it's going to blast it through, but it's not going to be super accurate with crappy ammo.
Yeah, and you don't want to break in a gun with the cheap stuff,
so,
really.
You know, I was blasting with some of the Remington stuff, but when I put the match grade military stuff in it, man, it was just dead. Because the rounds were loaded, because it's matched up, there's so much consistency round to round. Like, you just lock on, and you empty a mag into something, and it's all right there. And the Remington, the shit was everywhere, you know, and it was, like I said, it was dirty, it was blowing a lot of unburned powder, but the match stuff was just balls on. It was just unbelievable. That's like the like if you ever had to go into a real situation using Full Metal Jacket non-expanding ammo, that's the kind of shit you want. Well, same thing with 9mm. If you could find like 9 NATO ball, it's going to be way better than getting the generic crap at Walmart, you know, the Winchester white box stuff, which is just blasting ammo. I also put a couple mags of hollow points through it, put some 230 Hydro Shocks through it, some 200 grain something, Spioshis that Dan had. He's like, here, try some of these out. And those were weird because they're lighter, I guess.
Did he have a handgun, or did he just bring his AR?
No, he had his 1911 and his Beretta. Okay. He handed me the Beretta, and I was like, that thing's just...
It's like a BB gun after it.
Yeah. And it's such a pussycat. It's like the thing is so easy to shoot super well. Like, I haven't fired that thing in years. He's like, here, dead on, just empty the mag into something. And I'm like, wow. Like, I need now.
15 rounds gone like that.
Yeah, and it's just such a pussycat. And I'm like, man, that's so awesome. And now, I didn't even, this is something for the future, but I really need a SIG 226 now.
Oh, now, yeah, okay.
I need to have the pair, you know, because then I'm totally set. I never really wanted a high cap.
You got a smoking deal on that thing, man.
I never wanted a high cap 9 until I was over there, and the guy's like, I was checking out all the different SIGs. I was set on the 220.
Right.
And then the guy's like, I'll check this one out. And he hands me the 226. And the 226 tactical with the extended threaded barrel. And I'm like, wow, I think I totally need a 226. But
this is the gun nut episode. We're really going into it. This is great.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and like I said, I've always wanted a SIG. That's one of those, like, it was the dream sort of sidearm to me, that the 220, man, it was worth the wait. All the hype is real. There's no bullshit. It's just that good. And for an alloy frame 45, that thing is smooth. It's a dream, man. It's like, it was not noticeably different than, like, shooting a 1911, you know, which is a brick. I mean, I love 1911s, but that's a big, hefty, all-steel thing, but... To be alloy frame, man, that thing was... I didn't shoot any, you know, plus P high-pressure stuff or anything, but I don't see the need for plus P 45.
No.
I don't see the need for anything lighter than 230 grain in 45.
It's a big, fat
bullet. My thinking
bullet.
Is, like, this is... I was,
you don't,
yeah, it's like... It's got a... It's large caliber, large diameter. It's got a large cross-section. It's 45 as opposed to, you know, 9, say. So the bigger cross section, it needs more mass to penetrate. Whereas like a smaller bullet, like a 357, can be lighter because it's a smaller surface area penetrating.
I see.
So you have a bigger, it's like, you know, pushing your finger into something or pushing you know, pushing your fingertip into something or pushing your whole hand into something.
Yeah.
You know, to get a larger surface area into something, you need more force behind it. So when you get lighter 45 bullets, and I don't understand the point of it. Like, if you want something, if you want, like, a 185, which is generally the lightest, they do make some 165s. If you want a 185, why wouldn't you just get, like, a 40?
Right.
I don't understand why you get a 45 and then you want a lightweight, fast bullet out of it. That doesn't make any sense.
Hey, use the coaster, savage.
What coaster?
That one.
Dude.
Yeah, you got to lean back in that chair, and then you try to lean forward, and it becomes an issue. I know.
But
got some comfortable furniture here.
I like this chair. So I was thinking, like, you have, you have 230, right? That way, if you're used to shooting 230 grain bullets, that's what all the cheap Full Metal Jacket stuff is, 230, right? So you get 230 grain standard pressure jacketed hollow points of whatever type you like. They feel the same coming out of it. Most of them, you know, the sights seem to be regulated for 230s, so it's going to sight the same.
Because
when I was shooting 200s, I was shooting short. And then, worst case scenario, if you have to use it and you've got jacketed hollow points in it, worst case scenario, if the cavity on the hollow point can become plugged with fabric, like if it's going through heavy jacket, you know, the layers of fabric can actually plug it and it won't expand. That happens, and all the companies try to come up with ways to keep it from happening. But if it does and it doesn't expand, then it turns into 230 grain ball, which has the best track record for non-expanding stuff. It's, you know, way better than using like 9 ball or something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
On anything. So that makes sense to me. If you're gonna have a 45, you use 230s.
Yeah, because you can't really lose. You get great or you get really good.
Yeah,
one of the two.
Yeah. So that's, you know, and the weapon just seemed to shoot better. It's like I said, the sights are probably regulated for 230, I would think, because that's mostly what you're gonna be shooting. But the thing was just amazing. It was like, it's just awesome. All I need is more magazines for it.
Yeah, because you just had the two, right?
Yes, and a weapon light.
Because
Surefire now makes an LED.
Yeah.
Which is what I've been waiting for. And I got the rail on the SIG.
And it has that diamond pattern, right?
Yes.
That's a very cool LED.
And now it's like the first LED bright enough. In their words, the first LED bright enough for tactical use.
I haven't seen, how big is it?
It's about that long.
Yeah.
It's a 5-watt LED.
About 4 inches long.
Yeah, which is amazing to me that they stuck a 5-watt in a...
It's tiny.
It's like 2.5 inches here, folks. I mean, this thing is, very small.
Oh, yeah. It's
and blinding.
It's not very big.
Go to Target. I've seen them at Eddie Bauer, 1 watt, and just shine yourself in the face. And,
I've got a couple of 1 watts.
You see a big spot in your front of you.
I've got a 3-watt at home that will stun you
if
you get zapped by it. So it's a 5-watt. I think it's 65 lumens. I think so. This right
there. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of the selling points for Surefire flashlights is that you get one, and you can use it as self-defense. Not only can you pummel somebody in the face
right
with it,
in the face.
You can
what?
Just blind them with it. But you'll pay $90, $100 for a flashlight, though.
But you have a stun flashlight. I mean, that's amazing.
And totally cool.
Yeah, and people, you know, I was looking at a Surefire catalog at work, and you know, and a guy asked me, you know, because there were prices, like suggested prices, you know, or something in there, and it's like, you know, some of them are $200 or $300, and it's like, you know, $300 for a flashlight. I'm like, this is Surefire. Like, if you had a job where at some point in the course of your job, your life might depend on whether or not your flashlight works.
Sure. I was a pizza delivery guy. That actually came in quite handy.
People who have that job carry Surefires. And the only other company that has any sort of rep along that line is Streamlight.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say more people are probably, well, at least when there's bullets involved, they seem to be on the side of Surefire.
Yeah.
Streamlight makes a lot of stuff for, like, you know, search and rescue and firefighters and stuff like that. But Surefire is so weapons, combat-oriented stuff. But they finally have, but I'm all hooked on LED flashlights. I've phased out all of my other stuff. I'm going totally LED.
Yeah, we had this conversation the other day. We can't understand why Maglite isn't putting out a LED.
Yeah.
I mean, for a company that's known for making flashlights for police, and then the fact that everyone has got an LED out now, are they waiting? Do they have something that they're wanting to bring out? I mean, I'd love to see one of the giant, like, six cell.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could easily put a 3 to 5 watt in a monster like that.
Yeah, and I mean, that thing could be a nightstick plus, like, stun light.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I'd buy one.
And, yeah, I mean, because I don't know. You can get third-party conversion heads for some of them.
So you can buy the light.
Yeah, you can get an for the smaller mag lights, you can get a... For the little pocket ones, you can get.
It just seems like they're missing an opportunity here. Certainly. Maybe they're trying to support their older customers that aren't used to the new technology, and they don't want to make something.
It doesn't make any
sense. It's a flashlight. You push the button, and
the
light comes on.
That's what
it doesn't.
I
it doesn't operate any different.
But they should give you the option. It shouldn't be that hard to put like an LED in the top part of a flashlight.
Yeah.
But they're. I mean,
I'd buy it as an accessory.
The only complaint that some people have with LEDs is. The sort of the coloring they have to the light. Some of them do get kind of blue-white at times.
I like that.
And some people... Well, I like it too, but it's just what you're used to. If you're used to most... you know, most bulbs have that sort of
yellow.
It
does make quite distinct shadows.
Most incandescent stuff has that kind of yellowy...
Well, it's like natural light. It's supposed
it's
to
a little,
be more natural.
I don't mind the blue-white to LED. And I mean, I've switched out. And my brother Dan, he's the same. We're both flashlight geeks. We're like self-confessed flashlight geeks.
Flashlight geeks.
Don't know why. And apparently there are others like us, but we're both like constantly finding cool flashlights and going, check the, you know, I'll see him and he's like, check this out, man. I found this. You know, be like, I found this at Meijer, dude, for like $15. And it's like really cool. And then we're both obsessed with LEDs now, so I've switched out all my.
Well, you've got the small like pocket Pelican, right? And then you have.
I have a pocket Pelican. I have the Innova X5, which is the shit.
The X makes it cool.
Yes. The Innova X5 is awesome. Because it's super lightweight.
Is that the one you got at the show?
Yeah.
Was that the one like the $35 one that you bought?
It was $39.99.
That's not bad.
No, nothing's. That thing's awesome because it's all machined aluminum. It's waterproof to a further depth than I ever plan on going in.
I should have bought a flashlight. Yeah. I bought an airsoft rifle.
If you're deep enough that you need a flashlight, you're too deep.
It's water.
I bought an airsoft rifle. Yeah. I'm so cool now.
You bought a fake airsoft rifle.
No, I bought a real airsoft rifle. There's no airsoft company. It's real.
But it's just plastic, really fake. But it's
Yeah, but, I mean, it's so fun, you can, because you can pepper your friends, and they just get mad at you. They don't
die. The X5 is, I think it's waterproof to, like, 30-something feet, you know, which is, if it's not a swimming pool or surf, you know, that I'm not going to be in it. So, but it's got 5 LEDs in it. I think it's, I forget what the wattage on it is, but it's extremely bright. But it's cool because all the LEDs are redundant. So if one of them gets broken, the other four still work.
Oh, that's nice. That's not like Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, they, you know, and it's crush-proof to like 2,000 pounds. And it weighs virtually nothing because it's aluminum and LEDs, and it's got the CR123 lithium batteries in it. So it weighs nothing. And it's like, you know, compared to like a mini mag, which is roughly the same size.
Oh, yeah, the brightness level.
Is phenomenal compared to it, I think. And then, you know, Minimag, if you try to carry it, the Innova X5 makes a Minimag feel like you've got a roll of nickels in your pocket.
Really, it's that light, huh?
I mean, the Innova just vanishes. It's like, it's so, and it's just wicked.
So is it made of aluminum casing?
Yeah. It's super cool. For like $40, it's a wickedly cool.
I'm a sucker for anodized aluminum. That and a magnesium. I'm all over.
And then I have the 3-watt one that Dan got off eBay. He got a pair of those. It's like a Chinese copy almost of a little Surefire, but it's a 3-watt. It was like $12 and it's aluminum. And
it was a 3-watt for $12? Really? Because Eddie Bauer, of all places, had a 1-watt that I saw at Target, and they had it for $30.
I have a Dorsey one I got at Target.
Yeah. Was it kind of, an odd sort of
silver? They came in weird colors, yeah.
Yeah.
But that one's, the Dorsey's kind of cool because it's got two settings. It's got, like, you push the button once, it comes on.
And it blinks.
You push it again, and it goes flashing strobe.
So and there's a new signal one. Flying saucer.
There's a new door. I think it's a Dorsey that Meyer's carrying now. That's like in a waterproof rubber, like shockproof housing.
Really?
Which I got for $20.
I have a Dorsey at work that I use to work, like on equipment, and it's a one LED, but it's not. I don't know what the wattage is on it, but I was really surprised. I mean, it took, like, normal batteries. It's, like, four AA batteries. But it wasn't nearly as bright as what I expected it to be. I was really kind of disappointed in that. Of course, it was free, so I didn't have to worry about that.
Well, and these LED lights, can you focus the beam, or is it...
Most of them, no. Not like in a mag light. There's not, like, the rotating thing.
Right.
Most of them, but they're so incredibly... You don't get that weird sort of hazy ring.
Right, right. I just wondered what the
what
the range on them was. Like if you could, you know, because with a mag light, you can focus it down where you can.
Most of them are like that already.
Okay.
They don't. Most of them don't have the spread.
Right.
They're real intense, and you'll get if you shine them on a wall, you don't have that sort of crooked egg shape thing that you get with bulb lights.
It's
like there's like a white dot. And then,
especially if you have, like, an imperfect mirror and you get that spot that's kind of off to the left or the right or top or bottom, and you're like, you know, it kind of messes with the shadows.
But if you read all the
detailed
stuff on them, I mean, the LED lights are just, I mean, for serious use, I can't see why anybody would use anything different.
Well, I just don't, they say they don't use them on headlights because there's not enough spread. Like, it's too direct of a beam.
But I mean, they're so much more rugged than an incandescent or any sort of...
Well, the lifetime's ridiculous. Yeah,
I mean, any sort of bulb light, most high-tech ones are something like the xenon or whatever, type of things, which doesn't really matter. It makes it brighter.
Yeah, it's still based on technology that was essentially made in the late late 1800s. It's no different. It's just a little better in the substance.
But the LEDs are there's so little there to break. I mean, it's so simple and so rugged. The light is so intense. The lifetime of the LED itself is way longer than you are ever going to live, barring some amazing scientific breakthrough that makes you live 1,000 years. You know, most of them will last well over 100 years.
Yeah, I've heard that they'll outlast the casing that it's in lot of times because of the durability.
They use very little power, so the battery life on most of them is pretty good. You know, it's not always great if you've got a super, super powerful.
Well, it's like the Cadillac STS has. Well, I guess a lot of the new Cadillacs have the LED taillights.
Yeah.
And they're the arrayed where there's lots and lots of them. But I mean, I'd like to know how much Cadillac's charging for a taillight. Because, I mean, I imagine something could go wrong and you'd have to end up replacing it. But would you replace the bulbs or what it's the wiring connected to it? Or is it all one piece? Or if you were to get hit in an accident, what does this tail light
There's
cost?
Probably, I would imagine there is like a single unit.
Yeah.
That like pops out.
Plugs into something. I would imagine that too.
And they can charge you $3,000.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Because that's the way GM likes
get
to do.
Get burned.
But most of them, like I said, they have and the way that they run, it's like it's not just the battery life is not technically longer, but the nature of the way they operate, it's like they can run on so little current and still operate, which is like, whereas like an incandescent, a bulb sort of hits that critical point and is gone.
Yeah.
And there's still juice in the batteries, but it's not getting enough to operate. Whereas LEDs, they'll run for a long period at like a normal, and then they'll start to drift, or the light will start to dim, and they'll go and they'll still get some juice out of them. And A lot of them are like set up. They have like a sort of like a, I forget what it was called. It was like a moonlight mode or something where it, I mean, they can run on like the last drops of juice out of the battery and it's still putting out some light.
Really?
And it'll drain those batteries dead
before you need to go and change.
Before it stops producing light. I mean, they can actually, you know, and most of them come with lithium batteries, which weigh so much less than alkaline batteries and have...
They're very low wattage.
Yeah.
Very low. It's microwatts. And
so, again, you shave a lot of... I mean, you can put alkaline batteries in some of them. I mean, the ones that... in a lot of them, are AA, AAA stuff. But the really cool ones are usually CR123 lithiums, which is...
Oh, everything that's running off lithiums anymore. It's just the coolest battery out there.
Well, I mean, but and you can get lithium, AA, AAA stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To put in. But most of the cool, like the Innova X5 and the Shorefires and other cool stuff, most of the, like a lot of optical, like the EOTechs, the regular, now they're making double EOTechs, but most regular EOTech sites run on CR123.
Well, like all the really high-end mini-disc recorders that Sony makes all come with that lithium-ion stick battery that's,
Yeah, that's what mine has.
Really, really thin. Oh, that's a cool battery.
It's cool stuff. Mm-hmm.
And it lasts a really long time.
It's rechargeable, too.
Which is what we're recording on, by the way, is a mini disc. It doesn't have a lithium-ion battery, unfortunately. Yeah. I have a battery attachment.
But it's funny, talking about being a flashlight geek, it's... That's one of those things that's like... So I'm a flashlight geek, so I have many flashlights. And I don't understand...
I'm not going to tell you what kind of geek I am.
I'm many types of geek.
Oh,
that's,
yes.
That's one facet of my geek.
Yeah, I'm
but
sure it'll come
things,
out.
But in terms, if you just... The sort of thing that we're talking about here, like if you're talking about whatever level of a survival situation, obviously a flashlight...
Oh, tantamount.
It's a fundamental thing. And it's one of those things that's like... Whatever, if you want to look at, like, a little bit of preparation goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be like me. You don't have to buy a bunch of really cool, quote-unquote tactical flashlights. But
that just makes it sound so tough, though.
Tactical
vests.
First of all, it has to be black.
Oh, did you hear about the recall tactical vests, or rather the
and the Marines.
Vest. Yeah.
The Marines,
Marines are saying that there's no problem with them, but apparently somebody blew
somebody
a whistle.
Somebody got shot. But go ahead.
I was gonna say it's strange to me. It's like people. There are actually people who like don't own a single flashlight.
Oh, I'm so happy with my flashlight. Actually, I got that Maglite.
You know, and that's one of those. It's one of those things. There's a few basic things that you could have.
Yeah,
and
the power
possession.
Goes out. You need a flashlight.
And I don't want to sound chauvinistic, but some people.
When
I got married, there was no flashlight in the house. Like,
and it's
what?
Like, and that's
I had three in my car.
Yeah, it's strange to me because it's one of those things. It's like there are a few basic things that you could have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're concerned, you don't even have to be a nut. And start stockpiling ammo
or batteries.
But if you're concerned about surviving any sort of
conflagration,
anything what I like to call disruptions of like your everyday life. Like I said, if the power goes out, most people, if the power's out for 2 days, their life is fucking a nightmare.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They just don't.
They're
know how
dumping
to,
turkeys in the trash, and
the
whole neighborhood smells awful.
The slightest little thing, their life is just crazy. But
there's
a few basic things like that. Like if you, one of them would be a flashlight. Some way to generate light that's not dependent upon either the electrical grid or something burning.
Yeah.
And case in point, last summer. Big storm rolls through, power goes out. It's very hot summer night, so I'm in my apartment, power goes out, air conditioners are dead, quickly becoming very warm. So I've got the windows open a little bit, but it's still kind of storming, and the rain's coming in a little bit, so I've got them cracked. And there were the civil defense sirens were going off because there were tornado warnings. It's that time of year here. It's crazy ass weather.
Telephone lines down all over the place.
Yeah, so I'm in, and so I sort of open the door to my apartment, and the people in my apartment building are all kind of coming out of their apartments because it's very hot in the apartments, and we're trying to get some ventilation, and we were trying to look out the front door of the building to kind of see what was going on. And the two girls who live across the hall from me were in a state of panic because when they open the door to their apartment to come out, there's like 14 candles lit in the living room, right? Everywhere. The civil defense sirens are going off. The tornadoes are coming. They're freaking out. You know, I'm like ready. I've got a flashlight in one hand. I've got like my cell phone in my pocket. You know, I've got like a pocket knife, which is another thing that,
oh, I feel naked without my
pocket
knife.
You know, that's another little thing. And you don't have...
Just the cup packages open. Yeah. If I don't have it, I feel completely useless.
So we're standing there, and they're panicking, because the phones were dead. So they wanted to try to contact somebody. So I let them use my cell phone. They called somebody, and apparently that person was like, you know, get down to the basement immediately. So they go back in their apartment for a minute, and they come out, and they're going to go downstairs in the dark, and I've got kind of one of the crazy, crookedy staircases.
These were the old neighbors, the ones that dressed in the, those neighbors dressed great. They had the best outfits.
I liked those girls.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, and they come out, and they've got the candle in one hand, and they're trying to shield the flame, you know, as they go downstairs. And I'm like, you know, and there's candles.
Like a little house on the prayer.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, and there's still candles lit in the apartment. So they're going to go downstairs and leave the candles lit. So I'm like, they don't have any flashlights at all. So I'm like, hang on. So I went and got an extra one because I have multiple. So I'm like, hey. I was like, well, let me get you a flashlight. I was like, you know, as I can put out the candles in your apartment if you're going to go downstairs.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Like, yeah, you know? If it blows the candles over and burns so the like, building down, you're in
again,
the basement.
You know, so that's one of those things. It's like they have no flashlights. So it's like the only way to generate, you know, of course they've got tons of candles. Maybe that's a... That's a gender thing. I have a few candles.
But you never know who's going to come over, and you need to have 50 candles lit around your bed.
So, and it's one of those things if you have a bunch of candles lit like that, you have to get up to go from one room to the other. You have to carry the candles with you. You don't want to leave candles in one room if you're in another room.
No.
That's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, it is.
Because, you know, then, and another thing.
Down on the farm, we learn about
and another
sort of thing
that people don't have is a goddamn fire extinguisher, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, if you don't have a flashlight, chances are you don't have a fire extinguisher. Yeah.
So, like, if you, it's a good idea to have some way to generate light without something burning.
Right. Light without heat.
Ghosts are afraid of flashlights, but if you have candles in the house and you're walking around with the candle, you're going to see a ghost.
Yes.
It actually draws them out. But if you have a nice flashlight,
they're scared of flashlights,
you'll never see one.
And they're attracted to open flames.
Indeed.
In general,
that's
true. Yes, I agree. I concur. I mean, so that's a real basic thing. It's like there are a couple. Somewhere I could probably come up with like a list of like 10 things. It's like there's stuff that you could go to, you know, Walmart.
Oh, we should have a list of 10 things, actually.
Well,
we should have a list of 10 things that you definitely have to have.
The 10 basic things. And like I said, none of it's exotic. It's stuff you could go to, like, Walmart and get for not a whole lot of money. And if you had those 10 things, you'd be well ahead of 90% of the population.
Sure. You're
handling,
ready to go.
You have a 38-cent opener and everybody else is trying to bang a can of tomatoes on the side of the road.
The first thing that's going to happen is utilities are gone.
And that's
so
what I mean.
In any event.
In little things like that, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. It's like just sort of a little bit of basic preparation. And you're not reaching nutball survivalist level. You don't have 10,000 rounds of ammunition in your basement.
And you're not always wearing an ammo vest, which is the best. I'm going hunting,
you know,
all
and,
the
and
time.
Not, you know, and you, know, and, you don't, and you don't have, you know, 80,000 liters of water stored.
if you want to live like Dale Gribble, there's definitely
it's great if it works for you. But I mean, like most people, you're not reaching that level. But there's a few basic things. It's like, because like I said, people are so dependent upon the kind of the infrastructure of urban and suburban living.
Sure.
All this stuff, like everything that's sort of
we're connected to each other, and those people may, you know, need some of the stuff you have, and there's, you know, so maybe they need that stuff.
But the thing is, it'll be dark, they won't have a flashlight, they won't be able to find it.
You have an advantage. So, that you have the advantage.
And when I sight in on you and you're flickering candle,
you might think it's a ghost.
When you're coming to steal.
Wait, guns don't work against ghosts. Oh, too late.
Yeah. I mean that you know, you're not buying like the stuff like that. Like you're not buying a case of smoke grenades.
No.
It's not bad to have.
But it isn't bad to have. Fireworks were much better last year because of smoke grenades.
Smoke grenades are never a bad investment.
Nebelwerf Corpers.
If you buy smoke grenades, you're guaranteed to be cooler than most of the people you know.
Oh yeah.
If you have smoke grenades, you're automatically cooler than
except
most
for
people.
You want to buy good smoke grenades. You want to buy ones that don't say East Germany on them, because we've had trouble with some of our East German smoke grenades that we've tried to light off at various 4th of July events. The first of which is
the key
best.
Is just don't. Get them wet.
No. What happened to the one? I mean, the one at my house the year where we tried to get the lid off and jam
the sparkler
into
it.
And I brought out my Derek did not like my hacksaw.
The deeply...
It was
pretty lame. The problem was I think my hand was still wet from getting a beer out of the cooler.
Well, I know my hand stayed wet the whole night,
I think I had reached into the cooler to get a beer out, so my hand was still kind of wet. And when there's sort of a pop top on the top of the grenade. It doesn't have like a pin and spoon like your traditional American grenade. There's kind of a pop top, and then underneath that there's a foil seal, which you punch through like when you open ketchup.
Yeah.
And then inside that there's a ring attached to a string.
Yeah.
And you hook the ring and pop the string out, and it's kind of, and then that lights like a little spark.
Yeah, it's a flint covered string.
Something
that
like
pulls
that.
Through
it
and
pops
lights
a little
it.
Spark, and then the grenade canister is filled with a smoke generating powder. It burns like a big honking smoke bomb.
Yeah.
Basically.
And
but
it
my,
is a big honking smoke.
But my
bomb.
Hand was damp from getting the beer out, so I think when I tried to get in there and pull the ring to light the grenade, I got the string wet.
Oh, and it just failed to go off.
Yes.
I see. Well,
which required us to get the hacksaw and
to saw the top off of the grenade,
so we could
jam a sparkler into it and try to get it to light.
Well, no, the getting of the grenade open was the
It was
part.
Dark. The grenade was wet. I was intoxicated. And it was a piece of shit hacksaw.
That was a good hacksaw. It's the kind of hacksaw you use to get into tight places with. Now, what'd you call it?
The Fisher-Price My First Hacksaw. It had a tiny plastic handle, and the blade's like 4 inches long.
I know, because it's supposed to be able to, you can use it to bend around stuff. If you're trying to saw the head off a bolt,
well, if you're trying
try to do that with a full-size hacsaw. It's not
well, it's
like...
This
actually, you know that thing actually costs more than a regular hacksaw? Yeah, they're like $5.99 and the other one's $3.99.
Because it's the ultra-small tactical hacksaw.
Yeah, tactical. That's right. Tactical hacksaw.
It's a tactical hacksaw.
Tactical means small.
But at that point, I was not about to let the grenade not ignite. That was a completely unacceptable.
Yeah, that was. I remember jamming the screwdriver into the side of it at first, trying to get it the pole knocked into it, and realizing that I was about to jam it through my hand because
so
I'm holding
so
the grenade in my hand, jamming the screwdriver to the side of the metal.
So
it's not going.
It was necessary
in.
to saw it open, and then you could see that it's filled with sort of a dense white, chalky, powdery substance
that lets out 50,000. Cubic feet of smoke?
A really, really caustic.
Oh yeah, it smells great. It's like vanilla. I thought so.
I don't remember anything remotely vanilla.
I thought it smelled like vanilla. I really did.
It smelled largely like ammonia to me. It was very caustic.
I don't remember what it smelled like, but it wasn't good.
I didn't get an ammonia smell out of it. I really didn't get like anything. But vanilla. I don't know why I got vanilla smell. I think maybe last year when we lit off all those fireworks and, like, the smoke grenade.
None of that smelled like vanilla. Yeah.
I think it smelled like vanilla.
Well, the one we lit off... No, the one... The
I
one
mean,
we,
it doesn't smell
thing,
like but... good vanilla. It's like, vanilla. But it does have a faint vanilla.
Vanilla
odor.
I didn't realize it was good and bad vanilla.
Sure. It's like, oh, God, bad vanilla.
That's funny.
No, it wasn't, so, like, that bad.
But what I, the basic thing, one, smoke grenades are cool. If you own smoke grenades, you are cool. The thing is, you may not ever really need smoke grenades, but if you have smoke grenades, you find uses for smoke grenades.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's one of those things. You don't really need
them. And gunpowder.
Well, bulk powders, yes. If you have bulk gunpowder around, you'll find stuff to do.
Sure, sure.
So, smoke grenades are certainly not essential, but they're also not useless.
No. Oh, I would never say that.
And they're good,
useless.
Like, knickknacks just to put on bookshelves,
yes.
I found.
So. Some people go, what is that? And it's a smoke grenade.
It's a smoke grenade.
And then they go, is it real? I'm like, you can see it.
Who the hell would buy a fake smoke grenade?
A prop smoke grenade?
Like, yeah, it's not real.
It's an airsoft. It's an airsoft smoke grenade.
Yes, it's an airsoft smoke grenade.
It's like a Nerf smoke grenade. Oh, I thought it was going to be. But it's, so, smoke grenades... I'm actually down to, I think, four.
Oh,
which means I gotta get on the ball.
Yeah, you had a case of those at one time, didn't you?
I had a 12 pack.
12 pack. Indeed.
A shrink wrap 12 pack. Which was a great deal, but if you don't have to reach that level in buying things like smoke grenades.
Mm. Where'd you get those at, anyway? Magic of eBay?
No, I got those at the one of the Knob Creek shows.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where they have some really whacked out military surplus stuff.
Machine gun shoot. Everybody comes out, so you never know what you're
going to
see.
Yeah, apparently Tom Green was at the last Knob Creek shoot.
Yeah, I heard about
that. Yeah, we get some celebrities up here. It's like the second Kentucky Derby, only this one's kind of neat. I've never been
and
to
it,
the
and it attracts
automatic weapons.
Never
and it,
been
and it
once,
attracts
but I've been to the machine gun shoot like five times.
It attracts some it like crazy. Three chromosomes too short, motherfuckers.
Yes.
Too.
It's quite an experiment.
I was gonna say it's kind of like the Derby, but with a lot more undercover federal agents.
Yes, yeah,
and
we have our share there too.
And the Patriot types.
Yes,
all those guys telling the stories about, you know, they're waiting for the Chinese paratroopers to land in their front yard.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. We need to do that thing we did at the convention where we get the join Starfleet Academy and put the little we
out there.
We ought to explain that. This is going to come off terrible. No, we went to this science fiction con and we were sitting around waiting.
No,
for
we
a
didn't
friend
go
of ours.
To.
We went to
we kind of just
visit
showed up.
A friend and
what's
drink
the technical
some beer.
Term for that? We.
What did we do?
We stumbled upon it or something.
We made D&D jokes all night.
Yeah, because we didn't actually... I wouldn't say
we didn't
sat around and hung out with Sean. And
we sort of invaded it.
Yeah, invasion is a much better word than going to it. I agree.
We didn't actually attend. It was sort of...
But we sat behind a table that had
I think it was
some,
a recon in force.
Yeah, yeah. we sat at a table that was nearest to this auditorium and... They had some Starfleet Academy. Join the Starfleet Academy. And it had a website address and, like, name and address to fill out and everything else. And so we decided that we would become the people who were trying to get people to join the Starfleet Academy. It was quite an experience. We didn't actually get anybody to sign up, but I was thinking it was because I was going...
Which is a good thing.
Going to Starfleet Academy! Yeah, you're going to see the world.
Yeah, when you do that, you sound like a hardcore geek, so they're probably scared of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a fantasy deal.
If you can scare those guys with your geekness.
Yep. When you actually have a Vorpal sword.
Oh, well, it's the guy that we saw at the one con.
Yes. That was the guy at whatever.
Oh, that was amazing.
Which guy was
he that? He had the Starfleet Academy guy, the guy that Enterprise Next Generation suit.
Well, then there was a couple dressed in Next Generation outfits.
Was it a couple?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there was this guy all by himself dressed as.
What was that? It was the Galactic.
It was something. It was Galactic something Galactic.
Galactic Alliance, was that it?
Something.
Global Alliance. The Global Alliance, yeah, because he's like, I see you're a commander. He's like,
but he walks up to the guy in the couple, and it's like,
holy
and
crap.
He's, you know, and he's all in his, you know, and it's a couple dressed, you know, in Next Generation outfits. And this guy's like, well, I can see that you're a commander in Starfleet, and I am a Commodore in the Galactic Council, or something like this, you know. And this guy, who is clearly an uber dork, because he's dressed with his partner, I don't know, wife, girlfriend, whatever, they're both dressed in Next Generation outfits. They look at him like, you fucking freak, get away from me.
You gotta describe the uniform. It was like powder blue with a dark blue cape. It was the
and
best
of course
thing
it's
ever.
It's tight in all the places it doesn't need to be tight.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they look at him like, wow, that the look that I was giving to them. Like,
he backed up from him, remember?
They give him, it's the whole thing of like, you know, don't look him in the eye, back away slowly, keep your hands away from their mouth, and, you know, and they gave him that look, and I was like, wow, when you can do that to those people? But, and so, you'll get people like that at Knob Creek, but they're sort of the scary, violent part of
it. Yeah, yeah, they're the kind of guys you don't want to meet
so
on.
So when you're in these
occasions
sort of
where maybe the event isn't going on, so, come out to my ranch. So, you know, when this is all over with, and you know you can see my
there's
compound.
There's a lot of guys out there you can tell don't get out in public all that often. Yeah. They're sitting around loading mags all night long, and they're kind of like you'll be out there at the sort of the gun show part of it.
Yeah,
perhaps shopping for smoke grenades, and
among other things.
You'll be looking at you know, you're sitting at the table like you're looking at something, you know. And one of those guys, and they're always, it's funny because they're the kind of guys that are always in their gear, right?
Yeah.
They've got like the BDUs and some boots and like their load-bearing vest on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they go to the fucking grocery like that. You know?
Yeah, they got the like, ammo vest. Yeah. The best guys ever.
That's the, you know,
and their tactical sunglasses and, like, and you know.
You know, and they're buying some stuff at the store,
hat.
You know. And you can envision like the moment when the cashier's like paper or plastic and they're like, oh, I'm gonna take it home in my load bearing vest. You know, and I'm like the guy's you know, and the guy's like stuffing it, I don't need those bags, I've got my load bearing equipment, you know, and I'm like, I mean, he's like sticking, you know, I'm going
like your cargo pants are filling up with milk.
He's like he's got like his tactical load bearing vest, you know, and you can see him like, I'm gonna put my Go-Gurt in this pocket, you know, and it's always that guy, you know.
Yeah.
It's like he comes walking.
He spent
like
$175 on a raid pack or something.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, and he's
sure.
But he's getting, you know, and he's using it by a guy.
Well, it's got the Velcro attachable like he's pockets that
sure.
You can
sure.
Like stick. It's
totally.
I need
sweet.
An extra pocket
because it's not only tactical, it's modular.
Yeah,
which is another big.
Oh
solo.
Yeah, modular is totally different than tactical.
And modular.
If it's tactical and modular,
but you'll encounter those guys out there, and they'll kind of creep up next to you, and you'll be looking at something, and they'll say something like, you know, those like, I'd really like to have one of those when those Chinese paratroopers land in my front yard.
Sure.
And you look at them, and you're like, what? What the fuck? Did you just say that? You know?
Yeah, and you
like,
don't want to go, what? Because they'll tell you all about it.
Or they'll be looking at like an AK, and they're like, I don't see why I need to buy one of those. When a Chinese paratrooper lands, I'm going to shoot him with my deer rifle, and I'll just pick up his AK. Like, you're a proactive thinker, my
yeah.
friend.
Yes.
Or even better, they'll just pick up a rifle and swing it around, aiming it at people.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Like,
doesn't that, that happens at every gun show I go to. It's like, a guy
dude.
Going. You see them train on you.
The last one, Dan and I were looking at something, and this guy, we were looking at one of the ammo tables, and this guy comes up, and he asked the guy, the dealer, he's like, do you have any individual shotgun shells? I want to check the chamber on something. And I actually started laughing at a gun show, and the guy behind the table is like, no, I don't think they'd like that. And the guy was like, well, yeah, I figured. Like, I don't think they want you chambering a shotgun round.
Sure.
Here in the middle. I was going to check that. Like, I guess it was something he didn't know if it was 2 3/4 or whatever, the chamber. He asked for, like, can I borrow one single shotgun shell? because I want to put it in this shotgun here. And I actually kind of went like that, you know, like, whoa. And then the guy's like, ah. And you could tell he wanted to go, hey, fuck dog, back away from the deal, you know. But he was like, I don't think they'd like it if you did that here.
Yeah, they gotta, you gotta say it each word carefully so they understand.
But there's a, I mean, the Knob Creek's full of those. It's like those guys, and there's just a lot of just, you know, rednecks and just kind of gun people. But and then there's, you know, there's a lot of state police and
ATF
ATF guys and stuff, which is totally cool.
Par for the course, really. I mean, because you want to see what people are out there looking at, too.
You know, all that. If you're, you know, all those people.
If you're in the biz, if you're an operator, as it would be, you know, you want to know what's going on.
I mean, that's, you know, those people are totally, you know, legitimate, and they legally own all that stuff. But,
I mean, you're not going to be out there trying to sell stuff out of your trunk and stuff. That's a great way to get busted. Sure, I'm going to go to the Knob Creek machine gun shoot with all the stuff in my trunk.
There's always a few of those people that decide to show up and
that have camo. A Woodland address. It's always State Road 146.
There's the guy in like there's always some guy walking around in like some sort of camouflage pants and a pair of like work boots, and he'll always have like a pistol belt on with a bayonet on it. There's a guy just walking around with a bayonet on his belt, and you're like,
nice.
Did when you were leaving the trailer, did you go, oh shit, I forgot my bayonet?
Well, you know? Like what's his face?
I can't the go guy out there with
Carl Brown, the local writer here.
Carl Brown
brought two bayonets up to my work to have sharpened. When I first started there, and I didn't recognize him at first, and
he looks kind of
Carl. Carl's a character, man. Carl's a character. But yeah, brought two bayonets in to be sharpened. Like, I don't think they're supposed to be sharpened. I was trying to talk to him about it. I was
they're
like,
they're pointy.
They're pointy. Yeah, they're like stilettos.
They're not going to whittle with
it. Blade on them. They're just supposed to be pointy.
He's going
to
make a cane with it.
Apparently, he wanted to throw them.
Ah, the rare throwing bayonet.
Yes, exactly.
They're waited for that,
or,
too.
Or was maybe
what a fucking moron. I don't know. Throwing knives is retarded.
And
enough,
I don't even know why he wanted to sharpen something he was going to throw. So they made it more incomprehensible.
Because throwing knives are also pointy.
Yes. Yeah, they were already pointy. So I figured, well, you know.
But I don't know what to make of a man who can't sharpen his own bayonet.
Yeah.
A grown man that can't sharpen. All my bayonets I sharpen myself.
Indeed.
That's
but
insane.
Yes, you want to have both of them sharpened. I ended up having an associate of mine do it. I didn't want to be involved.
Didn't want any telltale prints on the bayonet.
Exactly.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of people like that out there, though, that just do that sort of thing. They just, you know, they go around, and it's the trench coat guys, man. You know, gotta get my fantasy.
Just wait till they show up.
Gotta get my fantasy steel.
With, like, shurikens or throwing stars.
Gil Hibben knife, you know, like one of the really elaborate ones, like,
those
stuffed
guys probably
in their
have
belt.
Like, they have, like, Gil Hibben posters.
Sure.
Sure. They get the promo posters and hang them up with their fantasy.
Well, one of my old roommates moved out of the house today, and he had put some stuff in the trash, and I saw that there was a Gil Hibben's Guide to Throwing Knives out there in the trash.
I don't know.
So where it belongs, really. But, you know, it had a picture of Gil on the back, you know.
So what's Gil look like?
He's kind of like balding. He's got the onion top, you know, going on. He's looks like he's about maybe 100 pounds overweight. Oh, that's rude. Maybe like 60. I don't know. The guy's kind of portly.
Well, he might be 8 feet tall.
But, you know.
Maybe he's not overweight at all.
Well, yeah. I mean, he might be proportionate to his size. I mean, nine and a half.
Yeah. And Gil Hibben is the guy who made the Conan sword.
What are you drinking over there? Which one's that?
This is
Coaster. Sweet. Coaster.
It's empty.
Dude. Well, I know, but it's still got.
He's a coaster Nazi, dude.
I just don't want the table.
As evidenced by
I'm like, yeah.
No, that's a Wehrmacht helmet. It's not, you know, there's no SS on it. So
yes,
he's safe.
Yes.
That, for all we know, he
Chad,
was
Chad, our
he was part
ad hoc
of the
audio engineer, gave me a Wehrmacht helmet.
And if you'd like to see a picture of Chad, go to atthefront.com.
Yes, yes. Atthefront.com has a great picture of Chad in his...
In his, like, 1942 Wehrmacht tunic.
Yes, with his Himmler. He's wearing his Himmler glasses in that one.
He's not wearing
glasses.
No,
he's got Himmler glasses, which is great. He said he bought them for the... he did reenactments. And we
As Himmler?
No, no. like the
that I'd like to
like
see
the
this
kids
week,
in the I hall know. Where they go to the like
Mr.
the
Mr. Bimler.
Yeah, they go to the Civil War reenactment and there's like, you know, two Lincolns. Lincoln wasn't even here, and they had to have the fight in the parking lot.
And someone.
Did you want okay?
Beer.
Yeah. Did you want to? Our hour's about up, so I don't know.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close to the end of the show. This
what
is episode zero,
yeah,
people.
The IPA.
You're going to get a lot more of this, and
we're
going to try to stick to subject. We decided not to do a subject tonight because we were afraid we'd totally maul it. But this is just
a
little bit of what we
beer.
Do all the time. So we decided recording it would be the next step. Anyhow,
not too bad for our first.
No, I really think it came off well. We already knew we had
mag loading thumb. Ow.
The chemistry of radio.
I have permanent nerve damage in the tip of my thumb.
Sure, you can't even open a beer.
I've got a blister from mowing my friend's
yard. That'll get you on disability.
Yes. I have mag thumb.
I can't open a beer.
Yeah. Well, I've got a blister from. I have a friend who has is recovering from a gunshot wound. And I surprised him by mowing his grass today and got a big fucking blister on my that's it.
Well, from Destructomundo, this is James.
And Ted.
And Derek.
Signing off, and we'll see you whenever we get around to doing another one of these.
I'm gonna work on that 10 things list.
Yes, we do need to have that.
Give
we
us 2 weeks.
We do need to have that. Well, by the time we actually get this out to you, I'm sure we're gonna have the 10 things you need
10
to
ten things
own
you
list.
Can buy at pretty easily. Not,
yeah,
not
yeah, and then you
it.
Can
and
upgrade them as needed. I mean, like with
there'll
the
be an expanded
light.
List
you need
on
to
the
have
website.
A flashlight. Go get a 59-cent flashlight, but you know, get a flashlight. At any rate, we'll have that list up for you, and hopefully, we'll have more episodes later. And check back with us, and we'll see you.
Cheers.